Temple University proudly supports WHYY and its commitment to education with 17 schools and colleges and more than 400 programs. Temple University's Hire an Owl campaign is committed to connecting leading companies and organizations with qualified Temple graduates and students seeking meaningful career opportunities. More information is available online at temple.edu/takecharge. Temple University proudly supports WHYY.
I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. Ahead this evening, we'll travel to places in the universe where stars are nowhere to be found in the night sky. First, a weekend water main break dumped millions of gallons of water around North 52nd Street in West Philadelphia. It's the third major break in that neighborhood since 1994. WHYY's Tom McDonnell reports that it's something the city deals with on an everyday basis.
The city of Philadelphia has 3,000 miles of water mains running underneath the streets. John DeGiulio of the Water Department says the crews test about 1,000 miles a year to search for cracks and other problems.
If we identify any leaks, we work to replace that main or repair it. We also have a capital improvement plan where we're replacing upwards of 28 miles of water mains per year. Those would be the most vulnerable mains that are in our system that we're aware of.
The goal is to avoid flooding homes, cars, and streets as happened over the weekend. DeGiulio says they have people trained to listen for breaks and problems in the pipes. They use geophones, which work kind of like a stethoscope and can work even without digging up a street.
We certainly inspect, you know, if we have a break on a main, we look to see if there's any other weaknesses in that main. If there are some, you know, blocks that have several main breaks on that block, that main will be replaced sooner than one that has no breaks on it.
This weekend's break happened in Councilwoman Janie Blackwell's district. She talked just after visiting the area about a need to upgrade a main installed in 1885.
I think that's a very good idea. In fact, it makes common sense. I'm sorry that you thought of it and not I. But it looks like we'll have to be there, so I will ask where the whole area is and see what we can do to do this preventive in a preventive manner.
Blackwell says if the Water Department does not cooperate, she'll propose hearings on the matter. I'm Tom McDonald, WHYY News.
For many kids, summer is the time they first hold down a job. Philly Works and Philly Future Track are among groups that help match city kids with job opportunities. Now for a look at the teen job market this summer outside the city, we'll turn to WHYY's Sarah Hoover.
Hi, bud. What can I get for you?
What I have,
is that it?
Erin Gleason takes orders at the snack bar at the Lower Makefield Township Pool in Bucks County. This is the second summer the Pensbury High School senior has worked here. Gleason took the position because she wants to be more independent.
I like to take responsibility for everything that I do, and I like to shop, and I like to go out with my friends, so I wanted to be able to pay for the things that I want to do.
Gleason learned of the job by word of mouth and is grateful because she didn't know where to look. While 40% of Pennsylvania's teens work, youth employment across the country has been on a sharp decline since 2000, particularly summer jobs. That's partly because more teens, age 16 to 19, are participating in summer school and other activities. Sarah Goulet, press secretary for the Pennsylvania Department of Labor, says youth employment numbers fluctuate, but the most drastic drop was during the Great Recession.
A lot of kids who were searching for jobs weren't necessarily getting them because our speculation is that they were being filled by older workers who had lost jobs.
Pennsylvania's youth employment rate is slowly increasing. Teens currently make up 4% of Pennsylvania's workforce, and the industries that employ the most teen workers are retail, food service, and hospitality.
Where fries, funnel cakes, chicken nuggets, all that fun jazz is.
At the Lower Makefield Pool Snack Bar, cashier Erin Gleason shows 17-year-old Rachel Gorecki around the kitchen on her first day. Gorecki, an 11th grader at Pensbury, worked at nearby Sesame Place last summer and had to be dropped off by her parents.
It just became more of a hassle for my parents, especially because they both work, and so trying to get me while they're working and then doing back to that just became a real headache.
She chose the snack bar this summer because she can walk to it. Gleason can drive herself now that she has a license. Across Pennsylvania, almost 60% of teens drive to work, another 20% carpool or take public transportation, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. There isn't exact data on the remaining 20%, but they may walk, bike, or get dropped off.
I'm just trying to find like a part-time job,
get my foot in the door.
That's Nicholas McGrath, a 10th grader at Pensbury. He submitted an application to the snack bar.
Right this minute, we're kind of full. Normally the kids apply in January.
Right.
Okay, if it's okay with you, I'll just keep this.
The 16-year-old is having a hard time finding a summer job.
I've probably applied to at least 20 jobs.
He's tried word of mouth and used his high school job board, which posts youth work opportunities in the area. Amy Schwartz, director of the Institute for Education and Social Policy at NYU, studies the impact of youth employment programs. She says teens can face some barriers, like their age and lack of transportation.
So trying to get a job when you're 14, it's hard. And there are things that, you know, you can't do because you can't drive and you don't have transportation. Certainly that'll be harder in places where you have to drive and where there is no driving.
Those who hire teens and help them find jobs say tried and true tactics such as networking with friends and family, using school resources like job boards, are still the way many kids can find work. They say having parents or teachers coach teens through the application process can help improve their odds. I'm a gonna raise a fuss, I'm a gonna raise a holler. For WHYY News, I'm Sarah Hoover. About a working all summer just to try to earn a dollar.
No dice, son, you gotta work late. Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure
for the summertime blues. Taking a look at this evening's headlines, Governor Tom Wolf's administration will seek a new nominee to become Pennsylvania State Police Commissioner, replacing his first choice, who was recently rejected by the state Senate. Wolf's office disclosed today that Colonel Marcus Brown withdrew his name from consideration. Brown's rejection was the Senate's first such vote in at least two decades. Wolf suggested that he'd keep the former Maryland State Police superintendent as acting commissioner indefinitely, and that prompted an objection from Republican Senate leaders. Republicans say Brown had a record of questionable decision-making and forthrightness. Democratic New Jersey lawmakers are promising an overhaul of the state's election laws, making it easier for residents to cast ballots. Senate President Steve Sweeney and Assembly Speaker Vincent Prieto join legislative colleagues at the State House to unveil the package. The measure includes language allowing online registration, early voting, and pre-registration for 17-year-olds. Sweeney says he's open to pursuing a constitutional amendment if Governor Chris Christie vetoes the legislation. Partly sunny skies, 85 degrees on Independence Mall. It's 6:13. This evening's forecast includes a chance of showers later this evening, remaining cloudy overnight, falling back to 72 degrees. Tomorrow, partly sunny, humid, a chance of showers in the afternoon. Tomorrow's high around 90. For Wednesday, sunny skies, high 86 degrees. You're listening to NewsWorks Tonight on WHYY.
Abington Health supports WHYY and understands that a lung cancer diagnosis can turn your world upside down. Abington Health's lung cancer team is dedicated to putting your mind and your world at ease. With advanced diagnostics like endobronchial ultrasound and important treatment options like stereotactic body radiosurgery, plus minimally invasive surgery and genomic testing of tumor tissue, Abington Health can create a treatment plan just for you. Learn more at abingtonhealth.org.
I'm Dr. Russell Kaufman for the Wistar Institute, a proud supporter of WHYY. With the opening of our new seven-story Robert and Penny Fox Tower, Wistar Science is able to accelerate its efforts to create cancer treatment vaccines. These unique vaccines can help unleash the power of the body's immune system to kill cancer cells. Learn more about this and other advances in cancer research at wistar.org. Wistar Science saves lives.
Delaware Valley University supports WHYY. With DelVal's Master of Arts in Counseling Psychology, students develop the skills, knowledge, and clinical experience needed to work in the lives of others. Graduates are prepared to apply for the Pennsylvania Licensed Professional Counselor credential. A specialization in social justice or child and adolescent counseling can help make a difference in the community. More about a Delaware Valley University Master of Arts in Counseling Psychology is online at delval.edu/grad.
Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. Taking in a nightly beautiful light show is as easy as looking aloft when skies are clear. Now let's imagine lights out with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, this sounds like an Isaac Asimov sci-fi thriller.
Isaac Asimov did write a story at one time entitled Nightfall, about a planet where the stars were visible only once in 1,000 years. So awesome was the sight that it drove men mad. On any clear night, anywhere on the planet, of course, stars can be seen, even in urban areas. So we're used to the concept of stars being in our sky. It's a function of where our planet and our star sit in this enormous galaxy we call the Milky Way. There are 400 billion stars available, of which we can only see about 3,500 on any clear night due to the amount of light our eyes can gather. But imagine a star system where no stars are seen in the night sky at all. As it turns out, there are places like this around in the universe. 3 stars have been discovered that are part of a cluster of galaxies, yet outside their parent galaxies, that have gone supernova several billion years ago. Now, when we think of galaxies, we typically think of these enormous collections of stars, hundreds of billions of stars held together by the gravitational forces of the galaxy. And so everybody's all together. But here's a situation where astronomers have discovered large clusters of galaxies, several thousand galaxies, in fact, with spaces between the galaxies that would typically be voids, now found to have stars. In fact, it's theorized that as many as 15% of the stars in some of these galaxies could be found in these intra-cluster spaces, if you will.
It certainly offers an appreciation of how much space there is between stuff in our universe.
Oh, indeed, indeed, because it's thought that these particular stars that are outside of their galaxies don't have any other stars anywhere near for at least 300 light years distant.
What's available to be seen in our night sky this week?
Well, it's a really great time to be out observing because sunset comes very, very late at night. Sunrise comes very early in the morning. And this leaves us with the fewest number of hours of darkness during the entire year. Having said that, though, we can still see a lot of really great sights. We've already talked about how Venus and Jupiter seem to be approaching each other as the weeks go on toward the end of the month when they'll come into what looks like very close contact almost, not even, but they'll seem to be really, really close together in the evening sky when there's really hundreds of millions of miles separating them.
Derek, I can't let you go without having you sing the praises of Samantha Cristoforetti.
It's a really interesting milestone that was just achieved last week. International Space Station astronaut Samantha Cristoforetti, an Italian astronaut, actually set the world record for the longest amount of time in space by a woman on a single mission. 192 days was her first record. She went on to set even more records by staying a little bit longer. She was picked up from International Space Station just last week and brought back to Earth. So her record really is 199 days.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.
You find Earth boring, just the same old, same thing. Come on, sign up with Outer Space Ways Incorporated. If you find Earth boring, just the same old, same thing. Come on, sign up with Outer Space Ways.
Tom Hanks once said famously in A League of Their Own, there's no crying in baseball. In this week's Center Square commentary, Chris Cetullo asks, is there crying in science?
Well, here's one hypothesis for which we sadly now have proof. It is possible to be a Nobel laureate in medicine and also an utter nincompoop. British scientist Tim Hunt won the big prize in 2001 for his work on cell division. Now he's earning censure plus a raft of satiric tweets for some slap-your-forehead-dumb comments he made at a science journalism conference. I've got to quote him directly so you can savor the exact flavor of his cluelessness as he argued against co-ed science labs. Quoting now. Let me tell you about my trouble with girls. 3 things happen when they are in the lab. You fall in love with them, they fall in love with you, and when you criticize them, they cry. End quote. Some scientists, who are also women, responded to Hunt's idiocy in the best way. Devastating humor on Twitter. Hashtag distractingly sexy. Hunt then dug his hole deeper with a classic non-apology, saying he was sorry only that he expressed his true feelings to a room of journalists. Jeez Louise, where to start? First off, Hunt's nonsense needs to be taken seriously, because it speaks in part to why science remains a field where women are chronically underrepresented. Second, one of the most obnoxious things my half of the species still does is to blame women for the difficulties men sometimes experience keeping our lizard brains under control. Men can't help they have lizard brains, I guess, but it's surely our job, not women's, to keep them harnessed. Most of all, though, I want to dwell a little bit on that crying remark. The notion that crying is unprofessional or a sign of weakness is just flat wrong. So is the notion that people who show no emotion are somehow more worthy or reliable. I can think of multiple instances in my work life where I witnessed a colleague cry from the pressure of wanting so passionately to do difficult work at a high level. In every case, repeat every, after this brief episode of moist stress relief, that colleague proceeded to hit the ball out of the park. Conversely, I've seen plenty of people react not at all in the moment to a work situation, then proceed quietly to exercise their emotions by taking petty, destructive, passive-aggressive revenge against others. Give me a candid crier any day of the week. That's someone I can trust. That's someone I would want sitting at the next microscope. I'm Chris Cetullo.
Chris Cetullo is WHYY's Vice President for News and Civic Dialogue. For this and other commentaries, head to newsworks.org. And finally this evening, it's college admission time. And while many high schoolers are worried about being accepted to college, one Chicago senior wasn't. She just had to pick which school she wanted to attend. Among the 26 acceptance letters Ariana Alexander was offered, and that included six Ivy League schools, she chose Philly's own University of Pennsylvania. The valedictorian from Kenwood Academy was offered over $3 million in scholarships. She graduated with a 5.1 grade point average. Of course, that's on a 4.0 grading scale. Alexander reportedly wants to be an entrepreneur and plans to own her own restaurants after she earns a business degree from the Wharton School of Business at UPenn. That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben-Yakov and Kimberly Haas, with help today from Brett Rader and John Ahrens. Listen again to a story or catch up on a missed show via podcast or online at newsworks.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight.
Bard College at Simon's Rock supports WHYY. Do you know students who are ready to start college early? Bard College at Simon's Rock is specifically designed for bright, highly motivated students ready to enter college after the 10th or 11th grade. Simon's Rock takes younger students seriously and offers a challenging program in the liberal arts and sciences, taught exclusively in small seminars by supportive, highly trained professors. Now accepting applications for fall enrollment. More about Bard College at Simon's Rock, the early college, at simons-rock.edu.
Guided by Quaker values, Folkways at Gwynedd, a continuing care retirement community for active adults 65 and over since 1967, supports WHYY. Folkways provides residents with proven financial stability, a comprehensive health care program, and a community where friendship, caring, dignity, and respect are a way of life. One- and two-bedroom apartments, highlighting their newest design features, are now available. To experience life at Folkways and to arrange for a personal tour, call 267-464-5038. 267-464-5038.